Well, I went to bed in Memphis and I woke up in Hollywood. I got a quarter in my pocket and I'd call you if I could, but I don't know why I got a lie. I wanna rock and roll this party. I still wanna have some fun. I wanna leave you feeling breathless, show you how the West was won, but I got a
James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the how to participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@innersights.com. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
I don't know, when I was picking up bumpers for this show, for Less Visible's visit, I thought of this. I wonder if you could work that in there, reworked and worked the song like Less Visible. And I got to come up with a rhyming line on there. But anyway, Less Visible, you know, we've heard him on here for years doing his socio-political metaphysical commentary. And now since he's traveled into the Western Hemisphere and into a time frame that's a little bit more compatible, we've been able to get him live to talk with him. Lessvisible.com and less-visible.com are the web pages. And we have him on live on Skype. In a second, I'll flip the video on to the listeners. And welcome, Less Visible.
Hey, how you doing? This is my Aleister Crowley impersonation.
Less Visible is becoming more visible here.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm wearing fewer clothes as the climate is hotter.
Oh, what? Yeah, okay. There you go.
I'm naked from the waist down, but you don't want to know about that. Okay?
Not particularly, but so what? What's the trek to Mexico? What's that all about?
All right. You know, this was not my idea, James. And by the way, thank you so much for having me on your show. Can you hear me, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Enough? Yeah, fine.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me on your show. Well, look. Over a period of time, apparently I said the right things, I rubbed the right knees, I did the right shiatsu on some people's feet, you know, and so a lot of people wanted to meet me. So they came to Mexico at great expense to themselves to come and see me. I would have been a poor individual if I didn't hop on a plane and go and meet them. So that I've done. Now we got a house full of pilgrims who are seeking some kind of ineffable essence. I mean, don't ask me, I don't have a clue. But anyway, they're all here, and that's pretty much what's going on. Yeah, there you go.
Well, there you go. But see, you know, that's one of the positive things of synchronicity that I like, where if you're kind of out there and you follow the flow, you end up in a nice place.
Yeah, like James Jones and Charlie Manson.
Well, maybe they followed the wrong flow, you know, maybe.
Like making a joke. Make a joke, you know.
Yeah, that's something we've figured out along the years.
Yeah.
So, you know, how does it, you know, we played that interview that you had last week, and it seems like when people talk to you, they want to talk to you about a lot of the, I'll call them heavy subjects or, you know, high gravity subjects, and you seem like a pretty fun-loving guy outside of that. How do you balance that kind of the heavy apocalyptic and the fun-less?
Okay, let's start out with the guru game, okay? And let me give you a primer about how that actually works. I mean, let's face it, obviously I am one. But I would be a terrible guru if I didn't make everyone my equal, okay? So the whole dichotomy has been that I don't even exist except with the input of the people that make it possible for me to do it in the first place, okay? And once you can do that, then you have the dynamic, because not only are those pretty words, and not only do they sound nice to people, but they happen to be true. You're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, okay? And you're only as valid and real as the credibility you have created in the people that you interact with. I mean, what more can I say with that? I'll bring some of them in while we're talking, so...
Yeah, so but you know when someone meets you when they you know they've heard read your columns or listened to you on the show and they meet you, do a lot of people want to talk heavy stuff or do they want to just hang out?
Well, you know, basically what I do is I say when a new acolyte comes in, I ask them to go into another room if I find them attractive. I ask them to take their clothes off, you know, and then I proceed from the basic natural reality. Yeah, I'm messing with you, James.
Yeah, we'll have to put a little. We'll have to put a little flashing thing that says he is joking. He is joking. Yeah, you know,
they know I'm, James. They know I'm joking. Yeah. But anyway, look, truth isn't that hard, James. Truth ain't that hard. Truth is only hard when you're lying. Okay. When you're lying, truth is very difficult. It becomes convoluted. It becomes Byzantine. It becomes one of those, like, strange geometric patterns that makes no damn sense except that it traps you in a prison cell filled with your own ego and desires, and you don't ever get anywhere, okay? But truth is simple. It's very easy. It's easy on the being and the mind as long as one is truthful. If one isn't in this dark Kali Yuga period, well, that's not my fault. But the people I run into, they generally like the truth, okay? They don't mind going into that room with me and taking off their clothes because, first of all, sex is the last thing for my mind. I just want to see if they'll do it. I'm still joking, but go ahead. I know it's right. Come on.
No, but you know what you say. Of course, what you say is true because the old Mark Twain line is that if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. And oftentimes, truth is very simple, but it's the gymnastics of bending it to what you want it to be. That's where all the trouble comes in, all the layers.
More James, that's not truth anymore. Same.
Right.
You can't bend the truth. You have to bend.
Well, there are plenty of neo-political sophists around here to try and do that, but I find that they're being a little they're being rather transparent now. I mean, I'll hear it, you know, I'll hear something, and I'll go, come on, just like that, boom. Not even like, well, let's analyze it, let's check it out. There's a more gut intuitive type of thing going on, at least for me and people I know that kind of look out there and go, like, oh, that's a bunch of crap.
Well, James, ask me how I feel about the quote-unquote new age. You know, the people that sell scented candles, tarot cards that they created themselves, mystical gifting realities, endless DVDs that talk about, well, I'm not going to curse here because out of deference to your show, but I would have done so there. Look, it comes down precisely, ultimately, and eternally to one single dynamic, and that is love. Out of love comes every quality, all of the archetypes. Mercy, compassion, justice. You know, all of these particular integrity, all these things come out of love. Love itself is unfathomable. No one has ever touched the depths of love. It is impossible. So, you've got a lot of sophistry. You've got a lot of intellectuals. You've got a lot of mutual frottage occurring all over the place. Real important people touching each other and getting each other off. God knows how or why they do it, but damn it, they do. Okay, so, but love, love's the silent little dyslexic guy that sits over in the corner and just wants to be near the music, okay? And that's the guy I want to be. Somewhere on the outskirts of the ever-blazing almighty glory of God, you know, if I just get to sit somewhere close, if I can be a small servant, a little ant-man, that's all that counts for me. And then the divine takes over. I'll give you one of my axioms, which I think I actually came up with. When you know, God doesn't. When God knows, you don't.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that. It seems like we're put in a position where, well, we're in the control seat, and it's our job to give the controls over to God, and yet the controls are set in front of us. Why didn't God just take the controls from the beginning?
How are you going to get a drama and a stage to begin with without free will and all sorts of people exercising their appetites without limit? How do you get the dynamic beauty of heaven without the arguable stupidity of the society we find ourselves in? Why, you know, I mean, think about it. You know, if you want to go and meet your next door neighbor, you go knock on his door. If you want to go and meet your representative, your congressional representative, that's not so hard. If you want to go and meet your senator, that's a little more difficult. Now, if you want to meet the president or the pope, that is really difficult. Now you want to meet God? Well, I think he's got higher standards, okay? So you got to keep in mind that this entire blind that we call the material world is all set up to see, what do you value? What's it say in the Bible? Where your heart is, there your treasures are also. Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I rest my case on that.
Yeah, it seems like this is kind of like a filter ground for those who, if you really want to know the divine, this is both an instruction and a test simultaneously.
Endlessly, every single moment. Let me give you an example. Every single event in your life, a dog barking, a car horn honking, anything anyone says to you is a special dealing of God with your soul. Now, you might wonder, if that were the case, why people wouldn't wake up to the fact that the divine surrounds, penetrates every single thing that has to do with them. They don't make that connection, do you see? But if you were on the verge of understanding that, you would realize that every single event that happens in your life is a special dealing of God with your soul. Yeah. I mean, I experience it daily and every minute, so that's, for me, that's how it is.
Yeah, you know, it's true. And when I, excuse me, the times of my life when I've gotten in trouble, it's when I haven't been listening to the inner voice. I just wish that inner voice was a little bit more obvious vocal, you know.
It doesn't work like that.
I know. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm putting into my request for the next year's model, you know.
I actually get that now pretty clear. And I'll tell you, I spent, I don't know how many lifetimes, but 65 of these years getting to this point. And it was only 2 or 3 years ago that I actually get to hear the voice pretty much full time. Before that, it was really intermittent. And he used to do some horror shows on me, James. He used to kick me around like a ping pong ball, man. He put me through so many paces. And, you know, toward the end of it, I guess when I started finally hearing his voice, he said to me, he said, you know how I was really rough on you? I was harder on you than I had to be, but I had to be sure. Yeah, it broke me up. I must have wept for 2 days when I heard that. And look, you know, for everybody's listening right now, James, and I think that's pretty much what the point of all this is, God's a reality. You know that. I know that. You know love is God. You know love is everything. You were in the 60s. You heard the music. And you saw Reagan come in and stomp on it, you know, and followed up by all the rest of it. But, you know, there's something in the human spirit that cannot die. He doesn't make it easy on us, okay? It cannot be easy because then the dilettantes will get in. Do you know what I mean? Then the people that didn't even do the work will get past the velvet ropes. It doesn't work that way. You got to really pay some dues. You know that.
Yeah, and you know, actually, you're one of the guys that when I start to complain, I think about some of the things you had to go through. And I go, okay, you know, there's other people, too, that I think about what they're going through compared to what I am, just on a very simple, you know, gross level. It's like, okay, I guess it could be worse. I haven't done any jail time yet is the thing. So, and what's coming, yeah. I'm a little worried about what's coming because I've been talking here and doing things, and I'm not the... you know, top five visibility here, so to speak. No cringing in your name, but, you know.
Let me help you out with that and protect you at the same time. Just so you understand how this dynamic is working in the world. This is just according to what I hear from my voices, okay? And, of course, people think that I'm already out of my mind, and that's fine. Because, in truth, I am. The individual mind is passe. The cosmic mind is where it's at. Let me tell you how this sort of dynamic you're asking about works. There's a resonance occurring right now. The avatar is coming down through the planes. He is sweeping all the darkness out before him through all of the planes. And I'm talking seriously entrenched darkness from centuries back. The bad guys are not the ones whose names you know down here on the physical planes. No, they are the ones behind them, discarnate, sitting up there in the atmosphere. The avatar is sweeping them before him. Okay, so if you have a resonance with that energy, if you should like get thrown in jail or something, or some kind of an accident of fate happens, it's for the purpose of demonstration. God has put you in that position to prove the greater power that he has over phenomena, and that is an absolute fact. I'm living proof of it. So I'm merely telling you, if I were you, don't worry about what might happen or backing off a little bit because you don't want to make Satan angry. I'd be more concerned with pissing God off, actually.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things in the Bible, like one of the quotes from don't be worried about the one who can kill the body, but be worried about one who can kill the body and the soul.
Exactly.
You know?
And let me add a couple to that. Greater is that which is in you
than in the world.
And if God is for me, who
can be against me?
That's exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus is his quotes. I mean, I read Jesus' stuff. I mean, that's why I like the red letter edition. I recommend people, if you pick up the Bible, here's what you want you to do: just read what Jesus said. You know, that's because it's much more distilled down closer. And less manhandled, though they still manhandle it. It's still.
James, that's exactly what I say to people. I say, even though the Zionists compromised the Bible, created all that chosen people book BS that does not, thank you, I'm pretty quick, I caught myself, it does not apply. It's all a bunch of crap, and Jesus wasn't even a Jew. He was a Syrian. But anyway, and that I can prove, and I have no trouble with that. But anyway, I have often told people, you know, because they got a strange, like, resistance to Christianity, those more aware people I know who get into other things. And I say, look, just listen to what Jesus said. Don't listen to the rest of them. Don't listen to Paul about women and the rest of it. But then again, occasionally those guys say good things, too.
Yeah. You know what I really enjoy, just for the hell of it, is that you'll be talking, and I'll be listening, and you will say stuff that almost is verbatim that I've said. You know, just like this little piece. All of a sudden, it's like, and I like that. I like that because it.
Simpatico.
Pardon?
We're simpatico.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. But it's like, someone else gets it. And I don't mean that arrogantly, because, you know I don't know. You know, that's my wisdom is, like Socrates, I know I don't know, okay? So that's the only credit I'll take. But still, it's like when someone else gets it, it feels good. It's like an unspoken camaraderie, an unspoken harmonic, I guess the word would be.
It's called simpatico.
Oh, that too.
Okay.
So we are here talking live to Les Visible, who normally does a weekly commentary, which really enjoy. The for me speaking, it's like this is my sermon, if you will. I mean, I can't go to a church now because I find myself arguing with the doctrines being taught. Though I do like the idea of someone talking. So when I hear your stuff, it's kind of like my version of being able to, hear a sermon, if you will.
It's a reaffirmation of what you already believe in the first place. Look, truth is resonant. It doesn't change languages. It has nothing to do with the Tower of Babylon.
Whoops. Oh, well, we already got some stuff here. We'll set this up, recall, see what happens here. Doom, 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 doom. And we'll give a call back and see if that connects. Oh, he looks like he's off.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message after the beep.
Oh, all right, we'll do that. We'll take a break and we'll come back and get less. Could you feed your family for a year, 2 years, or more from your garden if you had to? Do you have the right kind of seeds? Can you save your seeds from your harvest to plant next year? Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seed packs are a sustainable gardening choice of home, homestead, and professional gardeners throughout North America. Heirloom Organic seed packs are designed with your specific space, light, and nutritional needs in mind. A one-pound selection of 22 seed varieties that can feed two people for a year for just $99. Got a family? The family pack has 27 seed varieties to feed a family of four. There's even a homestead pack that has 31 varieties of seeds to feed eight people for 1 year for under $250. And don't forget, these are organically grown and 100% non-genetically modified. And forget the Terminator gene that prevents you from saving seeds for next year's crop. The heirloom organic seeds can be harvested and saved from each generation to be planted the next year. Just go to our website at feed2fire.com and click on the heirloom ad to access a lifetime of natural nutrition and wholesome eating the way it was meant to be.
Make sure you stay tuned, because you're listening to Feet to the Fire.
Gravity-fed water filters. That is the magic word for guaranteeing you pure fresh water regardless of what happens. You can find a river, stream, some source, any source of water. These filters will make them pure as the driven snow. Berkey's been a big name in filters for a long time, and we've had many sponsors to sell Berkey filters all over the years. And we have a new relationship with GetBerkey.com, and let me tell you why. Because not only do they have excellent supply of British Berkfield, as well as the American Berkey, but they also sell an array of filters that are the ceramic variety, you know, the ones that James McKenney has mentioned and recommended. So now you can go to GetBerkey.com and custom build the perfect system for you. A stainless steel, the plastic, the British Berkfield, the Berkey, the ceramic, the typical black filters. You know, there were some problems a while ago with the black filters. I had some that leaked as well. But that has all been fixed, and I'm confident they're okay. But since then, people have kind of went to the ceramic filters, like Dalton. And so I really appreciate people at Get Berkey for putting together all these systems to let you choose. No one's forcing you to take any particular brand or variety. They'll educate you on the website about what is what and how to do to combine them. So what you need to do is go to our website and click through on our links to Get Berkey. That's Berkey, the British Berkfield, and the Dalton filters, all there, the ceramic, as well as the black filters. GetBerkey.com, and tell them Beat the Fire sent you. So click through on our links to Get Berkey, and you will get Berkey. Also, for Feet to Fire listeners, people that get Berkey has put together a coupon for 5% off your purchase. 5% off your purchase. Just put in F2F. That's a digit 2, F2F, as a coupon code to get additional 5% off. And, of course, orders over $25 are free shipping. So there you go. Get Berkey and Feet to Fire. What a team.
Jaya Jaya Hunchi Mahi Vishara 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 Sida Humani Bhavaka Bhavaka Dika Lord Chonasam Charam Charam Sinna Madhuka Bihada Kabira
Sukha Samasta Sukhina
Contact James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official IBC group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f at innersights.com. That's f2f at innersites.com. There is a video chat room to see James in action as well as other F2F listeners. www.ivisit.com has the free software to download and access the Feet to Fire video chat room. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
Of course, I think of less when I think of this. We've had the Baja Temple Band on the show, and that is them. Okay, we are back with Les Visible live from Mexico. We lost the video feed, but we do have audio, and welcome back, Les.
Well, I can see you, but, you know, it's interesting. My computer shut down, rebooted, and now I see Windows has installed updates. I have no idea what happened, you know.
That's Windows, you know, 7, right, or something, right?
They don't like what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, I'm still using Windows 2000, if you can believe it, for my video and audio studio because it was the less intrusive. And so far, the software I bought was, you know, professional software back in the day. It's still good enough. And so
I only switched over a few months ago from Windows XP. I thought it was the best thing there is. So now I'm thinking Ubuntu now, since I'm not doing that much, you know, recording anymore, you know, I mean, musically and such. I figure, heck, I can go with Ubuntu. You know, then I have none of these problems. But anyway, let's get back to whatever we were talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about the times we're in now. You know, I found myself one time, I was talking to a guest I've had talking about astrology. He's been a recurring guest for years. And I said, you know, we're in a time now. I'm in a holding pattern. And I got Aries all over the place on my charts. And I'm like, look, blow the earth up, destroy it, or move on to a golden age. But let's do something, you know. It's this in between. It's this treading water. It's this stuff. It's like my engine's in, you know, I'm in doing high RPMs in neutral, and it.
James, it's called dynamic tension.
Yeah,
it's the distance between the space you're existing in and the place you're moving toward. Okay, it's the kind of thing that makes people drown in the ocean. Okay, it's called dynamic tension. Look it up. It's like the kind of thing that happens between the planets, you know, when they resonate against each other. I mean, figure music of the spheres when it eventually becomes harmonic. There is a tension in life. Life is a battleground. The elements all don't like each other. That should be a clue when people start singing, "Give peace a chance." It's a war, buddy, you know, but it's a good war, okay? It's a war of ideas. It's a war of hearts. It's a war of bodies. It's a war of souls. And everything going on down here, that got nothing to do with anything else but the harvesting of souls.
Yeah, so you had talked about Kali Yuga and whatnot, and there's a disagreements between whether or not we're in the middle or in the end. But then you said, well, it doesn't matter because the Avatar is coming. Is that? How is that coming, be it the middle or end? Wouldn't it be an end time event? Or, I mean, how does that work out?
James, look at the world around you. Does this not look like a condition that is demanding end times?
Well, yeah, but you know, it is a relative thing. I mean, the Middle Ages during the Dark Black Death were pretty bad too.
Well, then I would have to go with the cosmic clock. Tick, 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 tick. 26,000 years, center of the Milky Way. My prophecies. Okay. Well, anyway, back to the actual point of the exercise, which I think is the most important dynamic of the thing. Look, the thing that I can't mention on network radio is about to hit the aforementioned fan, okay? And whatever level you are at, that's the level it's going to demonstrate on, okay? Let's say you love God with all your heart, and no matter what, not a bit of that fecal matter will touch you. Let's say you love all the fecal matter to begin with. You'll be covered in it. You'll be a dung golem, okay?
A dung golem. What a great term. I got to write that down.
Anyway, look, love is supreme. That's a fact. All music testifies it. All history points it out. Look at all the great love affairs that we have as cardinal expressions of the things we aspire to. Look at all the great art, Titian, Raphael, Michelangelo. Look at all of that, okay? Look at the great, incredible books written by people who had to go through all kinds of terrible stuff in their life just to be able to do it, okay? For people who don't read the history of the great writers, I mean, maybe they ought to understand what they had to go through to actually pull this off, okay? Don't you think somehow there's got to be some kind of a cosmic, ever-loving God in the mix? I mean, come on.
Well, I'm, you
maybe
know...
Maybe for doubt. I have no doubt. So.
No, I mean, you're preaching to the choir when it comes to me anyway. If I could know, absolutely, there wasn't a God, I would have immediately killed myself.
Life would not be worth living, James. You're absolutely correct.
Because if it is true that this is totally of an accident of matter, and that, you know, we have become a conscious to go look at ourselves and then die into oblivion, it's the biggest joke there possibly could be.
Serious BS.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do like the in listening to your commentaries, you talk about not holding on to the material because the material is being slid around. And I know from myself and Lucinda, we both have Earth in our charts too as well. My emotional is Taurus, so I constantly have to use my dynamics of the Aries to consciously let go with the Taurus. And, you know, it's a tough one, but if you don't let go, you're going to slide down with it. I mean, you go crazy at least. You know, you'll just be tore up if you don't. And I think if you hold on in this motion, if you hold on just for a little while, you'll be reminded of that.
Well, first of all, it isn't particularly an astrological thing. I mean, yeah, you can read it like that. I mean, you know, I got your aspect thing going on there because I understand it esoterically, but I would have to say that it's a great deal more simple than that. If I had anything to say to people, I would say, as above, so below. And I would say, love with all your heart and all your mind the author of your presence in the situation in which you stand. Put all your energy upon the thing which provides you the inspiration which allows you to understand what you're going through in the first place. Because if you don't do that, you have degrees of shade and shadow, and the message is compromised by the amount of shades and shadows that it goes through. Few people can stand in the blinding light and say, I don't mind being naked. But some of us are comfortable skinny dipping in the pools of infinity and sunbathing on the rocks of time. Over to you, James.
Well, I was just thinking, I like that metaphor as I'm skinny dipping into an infinity. Because when you look around, one of the things I've been doing this over the years, but I'm getting ready to do like a series on this is, you know, the teaching of Jesus. And one of the things I was looking at was blessed are the poor. And I thought, you know, if you're poor, you have a lot, you're missing a lot of the distractions of the material rich. You there?
Oops.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I was just laughing.
Yeah, yeah, because the distractions that you know, can keep you going, it's like, oftentimes what will happen is stuff start breaking, whether it be, I got all this equipment here, it's all put together, if something goes wrong and all that, I'll start to plug the leaks, like in the dike as it leaks, and then I realize that my time is being kept by trivial material things that I deem important, and then what if it all wasn't there? And if I'm not careful, it all won't be there to get my attention. So I'm going to give my attention now so that I don't have to go through that.
That is spoken by a guy who's already been through a considerable amount of pain. it's like trying to plug the leaks in the dike. You only got 10 fingers.
Yeah.
She likes women anyway. Joking, never mind. But, you know, I mean, but the point being, it is an ironic dichotomy. None of it makes sense. If you go back to, like, some of your existential philosophers, okay, and if you understand the coordinates of how, like Sartre and the rest of them, how they base their no-exit philosophies on, or if you go to the ones who actually loved God, like Swedenborg and Kierkegaard, Fear and Trembling and the rest of it, or you go to any of the particular philosophers who have presented their own stupid, arrogant idea of how it works, no matter on either side, you eventually come to the understanding that you don't know squat, okay? Now, me, I know squat, okay? But I'm comfortable with that, okay? Because I know if I don't know anything, God likes me a whole bunch. You know, God's my best friend. You know why he likes me? Because I don't try to preempt him. I don't try to play God. And you know, that's what you get in a material culture. Everybody's being so suave and so cool and so powerful. Wait till they see the real power come in. And that ain't far away, brother.
You know, so can we talk about that for a second? I mean, you still got about 15 minutes, give or take.
Sure.
You know, what is coming? I mean, you know, is something going to break through, you know, the ethers? Is it going to be a slow morph into something else? I mean, I'd like to see a little dramatic stuff, but, you know.
You would.
I mean, not that I don't want to see people dying or nothing, but I'd love to see, like, boom, flames in the sky open up and, you know, horns blowing. And that would be just the coolest thing.
James, I'd like to go. Let me do this in a three-part, like, kind of a response. Do you know who Cliff High is?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've actually had on my show a few times.
Well, it's a guy, but anyway, Cliff is a really cool guy.
Yeah, I mean, I've had his associate. I can't think of his first name now. George. I've had him on a couple of times.
George. Okay.
Yeah.
He's more the manifest side, the numbers cruncher.
Right.
Cliff is a visionary. Cliff takes linguistics and makes future projections out of what happens in the search engines. Okay, if I be simplistic, because it's more than that. All right. I read what he has to say. I read what George has to say, because George talks about money and how money gets moved and shit. Well, as you can understand, I really don't care much about money. Money is the last thing on my mind. Anyway, you asked me the question, what do you see coming up? Well, I was just pointing out some of the people who have their particular ways they go about this.
Right.
I come like a thief in the night. Okay? No man knoweth the hour of my coming. So anyone who chooses to project, look, what has anybody got out of Nostradamus so far? What has anybody got out of Mother Shipton? What has anyone got out of any single psychic at any single point that has ever made a single effect on anyone at any point, okay? Love is the answer. And I'm sorry, but that's all I got to say. You want to survive what's coming up? Put your heart on the resonance of cosmic love. Be a mini Bob Marley. Live for the we are one, we are all love reality, and treat each other with that same dichotomy, with that same intensity that you actually, sorry, I almost said the F word, believe it, you know? And if you do that, then I don't think you have a problem. But if you've got a personal investment in anything, I think you'll have to measure that against how the divine feels about the fact that you think the personal investment is more important than the attention on the vine. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it, and I do. You know, it's just like one of the things I wanted to do in my infancy of my spiritual awakening in the late 90s, I wanted to see God with my own eyes, like my flesh and blood eyes. In other words, I'd love to see God come into space and time and go, ta-da. And it's not that I don't believe it unless I saw that. I think it would be one of the coolest things ever to have God appear in space and time.
And especially in James's version, that's called anthropomorphism, by the way.
Well, yeah, I understand. Yeah. That doesn't mean it has to look like a man. I don't know what it would look like, but just some kind of peeking his head in space-time.
You are God. Okay, let me explain something since we're getting to time down zero that I think will be very useful to everybody listening. God is man's bank. Man is God's bank. Okay? Each has something signal and different and hidden from the other. And when you can, pull yourself away from the dynamic of personal issue, you find that they're each other's treasure chest. In other words, forget religion, forget intelligence, forget everything. Allow love to guide you to the place you're going. Because basically, James, nobody knows anything. Everybody that's telling you something, that's a premise. That's an assumption, James. They don't know. And I know how bad and how important it is that it means something to all of us, but it doesn't add up. The people that actually get there are insane or simple. They're the people.
Yeah, that's right. You know that's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll choose the child part rather than the crazy, but
very good.
Yeah.
What does it say in the Bible? Lest ye become as a little child, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's a fact. And what is that all about? I'll close out with a lot of the stuff that I think will be useful to you and your listeners, okay?
All right. Good.
Notice what happens to people when they get old. It's a geriatric condition, okay? They become senile. Am I correct? And that is the cross-associative thing with geriatric. But there's the other factor, which is called regenerated innocence, where your childlike nature has been returned, correct?
Yeah.
There's a difference. Senility and childlike nature are two different things, okay? It's why when people get old, they walk with their backs bent over because their gut is sucked in by sexual excess, okay? Or the thinking about it. For those who love God, trust me, brother, for those who love God, such dynamics do not exist. Now, this will sound a little off the wall to everybody here, and I understand that. I mean, I have to have had to deal with that my entire life. However, everything in life simulates the other thing. So senility simulates innocence, okay? Which is why all the bad guys seek to rape innocence. That's why all this other ugly shit is going on right now. But hey, for those of you that believe, that actually care, do you think God would let you down? Honestly, do you think God would let you down? Right?
No, I mean, it's that Jesus mentioned that. Look what he does for the birds in the sky. Yeah. They're fed, they're taken care of. Look what the lilies of the field, how they're arrayed, you know, and how much more are you than that?
Even the lily of fields are arrayed like Solomon could not imagine. Exactly. Not a sparrow falls, but that the Lord does not know it. And that's a fact. That's a fact. In my world, it is. You know, James, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, I've been helpful to you tonight. I didn't talk too much, did I? Because I wanted to hear you, too. So.
Well, no, well, really. I mean, people can hear me all the time, but you are... But I do want to mention something. I want to say that I gave my dog, Charlie, a big hug for you today.
Oh, God. Thank you.
He's a little Jack Russell poodle mix. And I tell you, I was thinking about what you said, dude, about the dog, the faithfulness. And, boy, is that true. No matter how, you know, if I'm bummed from work or tired or sick or happy, and there's that dog, and I could accidentally step on him by mistake, and in a second I'm petting him, and he's happy as can be. I hear you, brother. I tell you, you said it so well that we need to be like dogs for God, and that is it. And that is such a powerful metaphor, and that right there, it jumped into my life, and I'm a changed person just from hearing that metaphor. Just that there's a change, and it's just a wonderful thing. That's the kind of thing that you do, and I appreciate it.
James, next door to me is a dog. Okay. He barks and howls all day long because he has no human company. For the whole week, you know, I've been praying for him. I'm trying to get people to go over and ask these people if I could take the dog for a walk. And they tell me they're really bad people. You can't talk to them, whatever. So today, being Sunday, their family showed up, and I hear all these kids jumping around and stuff, and I don't hear the dog for a while, and I'm thinking, well, now the dog's getting to play with the kids, you know?
Yeah.
And it goes off for a little bit. And I walk over and I realize they put the dog over in a separate compartment. He's there all by himself.
God.
Broke down and wept, man. I broke down and wept. You know, I think we ought to treat human beings easily as well as we treat animals. But considering how badly we treat human beings, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But you know, Gandhi said it best. You can judge a culture by how they treat the animals. And George Bernard Shaw had a few things to say about that too. I don't know what it is about dogs, but you know, I hear the souls of the failed singing to me of what they not get to. Now, I'm getting there, but man, the dogs remind me of the spaces where I could have fallen and didn't, you know? So I'd risk anything to be close to them. Go ahead.
But yeah, Lucinda here takes care of all the animals around the area, and it's funny. We put out food and water and all this stuff, and they all come here.
Yes, I know.
It's amazing. It's like they got a little bulletin board service or something.
Yeah, the coconut telegraph, man. It's the coconut telegraph.
Yeah, so it's cool. I mean, I think this is my 3-year anniversary that I stopped eating meat. It just dawned on me one day that I just can't I just can't fathom, you know, killing an animal and eating it. It just became like this extremely amazingly, like, I can't do that. And
well, you know,
that was it.
My thing, James, is I won't eat what I won't kill.
Well, that, I can see that, too. That leaves that leaves everything out. So.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I'm saying that just, I agree with you. I said, I agree with that. And that still leaves me back that I don't eat meat because I'm not going to go out and kill it. And I agree. If you're going to eat meat, then you got to really know what's going on here. You got to make that conscious choice. And, you know, and a lot of people don't. Oh, don't tell me. I don't want to know. Don't tell me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I will catch a fish. Okay. And I will eat a fish. And if fish eat me, I don't particularly care, okay? But animals walking on terra firma, I got a thing about that. And I can't do that to them. So it's dishonest if I go and chow down on them, okay?
Mm.
Look, I dislike the vegans as much as I do the meat eaters. Eating honey is stealing from the bees? What the hell is that?
Yeah, actually, I had someone on who was a vegan, and I talked about making bargains with the animals or the plants or the in that you find out what the goal of the species is, like reproduction, for example. So if you're going to eat corn, there's a surplus that's made by the corn because it wants to reproduce. So you make a deal with it and say, okay, I'll plant some of your corn and I'll eat the rest that would have just fell and not worked out. You know, there's a balance there.
Well done. Well done.
Anyway, we got about 3 minutes. And so why don't you take it and leave us with your thoughts.
Okay. God's not dead. He's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Hey, anyway, that's just a bunch of fluff. Look, people, strive hard. Strive hard. Come out of your insulated, hard-knuckled, pan-controlled, difficult massage, totally materially controlled realities and lift your hearts up to the true and effervescent spirit of the Almighty, and he will reach his hand down just like on the Sistine Chapel that Michelangelo painted. Reach up and you will find he will reach down twice as hard. If you're not capable of that, well, that would be your personal problem. Good night, James. A pleasure, by the way. A pleasure.
All right. Well, it's good talking to you. It has been several years, and we've dealt corresponding-wise. We had an interview years ago, first time, but it was been good talking with you. And I look forward to other visits as they may happen. And you know, we're always here if you have something to say and you'd like to come on. We'll always here to work it in. As long as I can keep doing the show, as long as I can keep the power and lights on and the show rolling, we will be doing the show. So,
James, just ask me. I'll be there. Okay?
All righty.
Good night, good night. And by the way, folks, before we go off, James Jancic, give him your love and your feeling. Because this guy, if he hadn't been doing what he'd been doing, you'd never even heard me in the first place. And, I mean, I'm not really anybody. But, you know, James really put this together. You know, here's the first radio station I appeared on? Because James has a nose for the truth. So, like, you know, if it ain't even the money, give James some credit as a human being, okay? Good night.
Thanks a lot, Les. We'll talk to you.
I had that.
Well, I mean it, too. Thank you very much. And aloha and... All right, less visible. There we go. All right, we'll be back in a minute here. We're going to be talking about the walk across America for human rights and so on. I've lost a page. so I'm having a little time here with the technological stuff on this end. I don't know, maybe Les overloaded the system with his energy. But we're up and running and flowing, so we'll be back live to continue right after this. Stay tuned.